It's Chiropracting to the Fore with our tame chiropractor. That's Alex Newton. Hello.
Good afternoon.
And chiropracting is this art and science of manipulating the spine in particular, isn't it, to alleviate different problems?
That's correct. We don't always use manipulation because that might not be appropriate for some people, but on the whole, the general art is manipulation of the spine or adjustment of the spine to realign it, to promote the general health of the individual, and obviously realign those naughty joints that can give rise to various problems.
So often people will consult a chiropractor when something's hurting or not working properly. What you like to do is perhaps stem that before it happens, and I know you've got some thoughts on staying well, going on holiday, avoiding some of the aches and pains, so we'll come on to that in a bit. Can people do it to themselves? Can you chiropract yourself?
We don't usually recommend
No.
Let's go with the advice and the exercises that we would prescribe rather than self-manipulation. It can make normal joints over-mobile, and that can give more pain than joints that are stiff. So you actually go to the other extreme, which can be, say, even more painful or equally as painful than joints that aren't moving properly.
But is it fair to say that you, as a chiropractor, as well as your chiropracting, have an interest in sort of the holistic view of the body, so you're interested in all sorts of other bits and pieces about staying well?
Absolutely. All chiropractors like to look at the person as a whole, as the individual. We look at what they're putting inside themselves food-wise and what they're doing with themselves on a day-to-day basis, not just at work but at play, when they're doing their sport, and obviously, as we're going to talk about today, going on holiday.
So, yeah, what are the problems of going on holiday? I was thinking about this, and to me, it's the travelling that would tend to annoy me and end up with an ache or a pain. Is that what you're thinking? Or is there things that happen whilst you're away that we need to be aware of?
Both to a degree. There's lots of forms of travel that we use to get on our holidays. If the travel is by car, maybe some long car journeys ahead. Whether you're a passenger or a driver, we need to look at both aspects of that. So as a driver, you need to make sure that your car seat is set up correctly, particularly if you're driving a car that you don't drive frequently. Perhaps you're driving your partner's car or something like that because it's a bit bigger than your car and you can get all the family in with all the luggage. Make sure that the seat is set up correctly. We tend to put the seat very bolt upright, particularly if you've got back pain. You think that extra support will improve your posture. But actually, we recommend that you recline the seat slightly and make sure that there's some support in the small of your back. If you've got a lumbar support in the car, then take that up to a maximum and soften it until it's comfortable. Or a small cushion in the small of your back is always very helpful.
It's interesting with cars these days, and there are many ways of adjustment on the seats, because you can get in, and especially if you've got a posh car with the electric motors. I mean, I don't have one, but I've sat in one, and you can. And I mean, I never know what I'm actually trying to achieve. Am I trying to achieve something that feels comfortable at that point, or is it something that feels a bit uncomfortable at that point because an hour later it'll be doing me some good? Are there any guidelines you can
give? Trying to aim for some soft curves, making the body almost semi-reclined but without stretching. So you need to make sure that you're not overstretching to the foot pedals, particularly if you've got a manual car. Every time you change gear, you're going to twist the pelvis if your foot pedals are a little bit too far away. So don't have your seat too far away from the foot pedals there. And overstretching with the arms, that can give rise to upper back, neck and shoulder pain. And sometimes the car has an adjustable steering wheel, as a lot of them do these days. Just make sure that your arms are nice and relaxed and you don't feel that pull across the back of your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So try and keep the curves nice and soft.
Right. And then we've got sort of coach and train travel. They can be a little bit cramped, although generally not too bad.
Always quite difficult because you are at the disposition of what the shape of the seat is, and it's either a little bit too small or a little bit too big for you. You're very bolt upright, and we again need to try and avoid that. I think the idea there would be perhaps to try and keep moving a little bit, get up where you can. Every hour or so when you're on the train or on a bus, if you get the opportunity to get up and just stretch. If you can't get up out of your seat, then perhaps wiggle, doing some buttock clenching or pelvic tilting, wriggling the shoulders around, stretching your neck from side to side, and of course keeping those ankles moving to stop you getting swollen ankles and stiff feet.
Right, and you should be doing this even if you don't feel any aches and pains. It's still worth getting up
absolutely,
and having a bit of a wiggle and a thrust. I'm thinking now of air ports and travelling by aeroplanes, of course, then that puts into my mind, of course, whenever you're going on holiday, you're likely to have some luggage and some heavy bags to carry, no matter how you're travelling. So that's something to bear in mind, isn't it? Would you say better to, if possible, carry by hand than on a shoulder strap?
Oh, absolutely. But even better, have some wheels. Mm-hmm. Choose small suitcases. Choose lightweight suitcases. Some of these very hard, fixed suitcases are already heavy before you even start. Think about packing your suitcase by the front door so that you don't have to carry that heavy suitcase and twist with it going down the stairs.
Oh, nothing worse. You're just out the front door and you're feeling
that's
a bit
right.
rough.
Yeah.
And then it's got to be the worst, doesn't it, travelling on an aeroplane, unless you're very posh and you can afford the big seats. I mean, generally, economy flights on aircraft, and you might be going 6 or 7 hours, maybe even more if you're lucky or unlucky. It cramped up in it.
I could see some problems before we even get onto the plane there,
right,
actually,
yeah.
Alan. So in the airport, there's often a lot of sitting around waiting to be done, and the chairs at the airport often aren't very comfortable.
Why is it they're so rubbish?
They don't want you to sleep there, I think.
Is that what it is?
You don't want to be there too long. Right. So try not to sit for long periods of time waiting for your flight, especially if you've got a long sitting flight ahead of you. Try and walk around as much as possible. Try to use the stairs rather than the escalator. And those travelators, you know, walk along them, try and walk quite briskly, dragging your suitcase or even pushing it, which will be much better for your posture rather than twisting and dragging it along.
I like walking briskly on a travelator in the same direction as the travelator because it makes me feel like I've got super walking powers. You know, you feel like you're walking really quickly without having to try too hard. So that's a joy for me. And then on an aircraft, I mean, how do you get comfortable? How do you get comfortable? You can't.
You have to, again, as we said before, keep moving, keep the buttocks clenching, keep the hula hoop type of manoeuvre around the waist. If you are going to fall asleep, perhaps make sure you've got a jumper or a small cushion in the nape of your neck to make sure that you don't wake up with a stiff neck. But if you do get the opportunity to stand up and walk around, again, do some gentle exercises and that sort of thing. But the other thing is to sort of keep well hydrated too, because we want to reduce water retention and swelling that we often get when we're travelling long periods of time, and that is usually caused by dehydration with the air conditioning and sitting still. So drink plenty of water, and that will reduce the risk of getting swollen ankles when you get to your destination.
One of the things, I mean, this is just my view on travel by air, is that often the seats are arranged in blocks of three or four, so you might well be sitting next to somebody who you don't know. Quite possibly that person is blocking you from getting out and stretching your legs. So my trick there is, before the flight's even taken off, establish contact with that person. Have a little natter with them. They might think you're a bit of a nutter, but it'll help you later on, because you haven't got that awful thing of, I've been sitting next to this person for 4 hours, I've not said a word to them, and now I'd quite like to get up and I don't know how to begin that conversation. I think if you can establish a bit of a rapport with somebody.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Have you travelled with this airline before? And just the general sort of... conversational questions.
And it'll do them good to get up and have a stretch
as well. Well, absolutely,
so you're just looking after their health too.
And now, of course, Radio Nottingham listeners can use the fact that they can say, do you know, I was listening to Radio Nottingham and Alex Newton, the chiropractor, was on, and she said it's very important that you get up and have a stretch of your legs every couple of hours, so you won't mind if I ask you to move. In fact, it'll be doing you good as well. I've been hearing from Alex Newton suggesting various types of squeeze you might do in order to make sure your holiday is pain-free. And getting there is one thing. Getting back, of course... similar sort of set of circumstances. Keep mobile, don't sit in the same position for too long. What about away on holiday? Any thoughts about how we look after ourselves whilst in a foreign land or a strange town? Or going, because what people do is sometimes, I'm going to go on holiday, I don't walk enough. What I'm going to do on this holiday, I'm going to walk everywhere, every day for a week, and then you end up sort of aching and blistered, I suppose.
I think the priority there is to get the footwear correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very tempted while we're away to wear shoes that we have much less support.
Oh,
and
flippy-flops.
The dreaded flip-flops, I'm afraid. And as much as they're very good for sort of perhaps using around the pool, if you're going to go out any distance, you are going to cause yourself various foot strains, which can cause all sorts of complex problems. And we've heard of the dreaded plantar fasciitis or policeman's foot.
Yeah.
This is where the tendons on the sole of the foot get strained because the arch of the foot is not being supported properly by the foot, the flip-flop. And also when you're walking with flip-flops on, you're using all the muscles within the foot in a very different, non-natural, biomechanical way, to, and those muscles get strained, and that's what can lead to this tendonitis or inflammation of the sole of the foot.
Which is enormously painful. It can go into the heel as well, speaking as one who suffered.
Absolutely, and the reason it goes into the heel is because that's where the tendons originate from. So they originate from the base of the heel there, and also you can get associated tightness into the calf muscle as well, which, again, because of the way you're walking, the foot is rolling forward, not being supported by the arch, an arch inside the flip-flop. This can lead to things like ankle strain, shin splints, knee problems, hip problems. It goes on all the way up into the lower back as well. So flip-flops for short periods, a little bit of walking around the pool, ideal. But if you're going to go out and about, particularly if you're on uneven surfaces or on an unusual terrain, then get yourself a very well supportive sandal or trainer or lightweight shoe that actually fits the shoe, which fits the foot, rather than you actually have to grip onto the shoe as you're walking. That causes the tendonitis.
I, as a sufferer of that, discovered the inserts you can put into shoes, and it made a huge difference.
Can't wear them in flip-flops, then.
No, that's true. You can't. You could glue them onto a flip-flop, but that would look very odd indeed.
Glue them onto your foot maybe will be helpful. Yeah. But,
but if anybody has got that, I do recommend trying out the insoles. And it's not something that people say, oh, well, you see, you're getting old, Alan. Because I can remember as a tiny child, I obviously have a predisposition to this. I used to have these wedge-shaped supports in my shoes as a sort of 4 or 5-year-old.
Yeah, the higher the arch of the foot, and as we get older, what happens is the tendons and the ligaments, which are like the elastic bands that support the shape of the foot, start to get a little bit lax. It's like any type of elastic. It starts to stretch as it gets a little bit older, and that's when your foot starts to collapse. The arches start to collapse, and that can lead to overstretching of these tendons in the foot. So really, from a chiropractic perspective, not only do we recommend that people have arch supports, which is good for the short term and obviously the long term as well, but you're not always going to be able to wear those arch supports. You don't really want to wear your shoes necessarily around the house. You may be in your slippers or barefoot. And so therefore, what we would normally do is recommend some specific exercises to rebuild the muscles within the foot. And that's quite easy to do. And rolling on a rolling pin is quite a good one, or a cold water bottle to stretch those tendons as you at the end of the day. And what you tend to find is when you wake up in the morning, it's when those tendons have contracted again, and you take those first half a dozen steps, that's when it's most painful and can give rise to a lot of pain and limping about, which again can lead to other problems up into the knees, hips and back.
The holiday sometimes is chosen from a brochure off the internet, and you see, you know, the hotel only 400 metres from the beach. You think, oh, 400 metres, that's nothing. Of course, if you're walking 400 metres there and 400 metres back in flip-flops, then that's, you know, nearly a mile in flip-flops.
Could be a problem.
Could be a problem.
Could be a problem.
So, so bear in mind, if you're going to have a bit of a walk, then it's worth having a pair of good supporting shoes for the journey to and from, or if you're going on any walks. Don't drink and dance would be another piece of advice from me.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'd get up if I hadn't had a drink.
Well, it's a question of knowing your limits then, just for fear of injuries.
Yeah. Keeping well hydrated as well, isn't
it? We've got to keep well hydrated, yes.
Dancing, it maybe should be done in not too high heels, so you don't twist those ankles and damage your knees and things. So,
I think we've covered most problems, I think, that can happen physically on holiday, haven't we? Have we got anything else that we need to consider?
Well, camping's always a favourite, isn't it?
Camping? Is that a holiday?
Oh, yes, I think it is. Anything a change from the normal routine is classed as a holiday.
All right.
So camping, you've got to really think about how you are sleeping and lying on that mattress or that your foam layer or whatever, an airbed may be better. Make sure it's well pumped up, though. But choosing the site where you're going to pitch the tent is probably quite important. Spend a few minutes getting rid of any sticks and stones that are going to dig in your back through the night. Try and find a pitch that perhaps isn't going to be too wet, because you don't want to be getting damp and cold up into the spine when you're lying on that airbed through the night. And try and make sure that your sleeping position is on a level ground. So you're not sleeping on a bit of a camber or a bit of a hill, because always rolling to one side, that can cause all sorts of spinal injuries through the night. Mm. Take a pillow as well. You know, a little bit of luxury needs to occur in a tent there.
Are you a camper yourself then?
Haven't been for years.
But
no,
you used to?
Used to, as a child, yes.
Once the choice was yours, then it all started. No, I agree with you.
It's persuading the other half to go camping. That's the difficult bit. He's not interested in that.
Well, I'm glad to see there's some sense in the family, Alex. Thank you. Brilliant to see you. Thank you very much indeed. You have a safe and healthy holiday yourself.
Thank you.
And we'll talk with you again in a few weeks on BBC Radio Nottingham. Thanks again, Alex. Alex Newton from the Beeston Chiropractic Clinic.
That's correct.
Lovely. See you again soon.